Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Joining us live right now on the phone, Marshalltown Mayor Joel Greer. Mayor, welcome back to Local Talk. It is a pleasure having you here again.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning to you. I guess the overall question before we get into specifics, how's the recovery going in Marshalltown?
According to the people that have been through disasters around the country, it's going faster than anybody's seen it. And that's interesting, but also kind of counterproductive. We still are hoping to get a FEMA grant, and if we look like we've recovered just fine, got the temporary roofs now being replaced and buildings being put back together, it's probably going to hurt our chances to get the FEMA grant.
So that's a plus and a minus. Let's talk about some specific damage. The courthouse probably was the most visible one. It lost the top of its clock tower. It has been closed down. What's the extent of the damage there, and how's the recovery, the rebuilding going at your classic courthouse?
Yeah, it's I'm a lawyer, so I love the courthouse. It's the prettiest one in Iowa, and it looks like it is badly wounded. I had a trial yesterday, and we had to have that trial in a temporary courtroom in the Max building across the street to the south, which just kind of felt weird. The last word we got was it's probably going to take a year and a half to get the courthouse put back together and get people moved back in there. And we did lose not only the clock tower, but the Ladies of Justice and the three of the four chimneys that were there. So it's going to take a lot of brickwork, a lot of masonry, and a lot of time to get back in there.
We should say, when you indicated you were in court, it wasn't because you were charged with anything. You are a lawyer, and so you're in court often.
Yeah, well, I get charged with things, too.
We hear that the courthouse damage is to the extent of $15, $16 million. That's a lot of damage.
It is. I'm amazed at the price tag on that, truly. And there's a building downtown, kitty corner northwest of the courthouse, and one store over is what's called Ocean City. It used to be a bank. It had these gorgeous columns. And somebody in the 1960s put up kind of a new modern facade back when it was a women's clothing store, and it was damaged. The facade was damaged, the new one, and so now we've had exposed to us the old, really pretty looking look that the bank had. The estimate on that one was to repair that $1 million. The first estimate to put the same kind of stone back and fix up what was jackhammered when they put in the new facade. That one also takes my breath away that it would be that expensive. So we're trying to figure out another way to do it and a way to raise the funds to just get it restored back to what it looked like years ago.
What about City Hall? That was also damaged.
It was, and we were able to have our first city council meeting back in our city council chambers on Monday. And it was nice to be back home. My office, the mayor's office in the main floor of that building, was untouched. There was a little damage to a few of the offices there. What happened was that most of the roof of the Coliseum, which is immediately to the west, landed on our city hall and did cause some pretty significant damage to a space that we didn't use, so I think we're just going to remove that space. But we are back in business and business as usual. We thank the library for housing most of our city staff. Library is only about three blocks away, and it had enough space, and they allowed us to set up our computers and phones and things like that. So we were able to get by just fine, didn't miss a beat, but it's nice to be back where we usually are.
Well, this is Paul here, and good to talk to you again, and I'm glad to hear that so many things have been done and so much has happened positively since the tornado. And just personally, I want to make sure and know that Taylor's Made Right's up and running, right?
Taylor's Made Right did not get significant damage. They were able to keep making the famous Made Rights, and they were one of about three places that when the tornado hit and we assembled at the fire station, they made a bunch of sandwiches and made sure that they got them up to the fire station. So,
well, that's a big reason why I go to Marshalltown. Now, what are some of the intricacies of qualifying for FEMA help? You said there's a plus and minus about how rapidly the recovery has occurred. I just wondered what guidelines they have.
Nobody knows. There's a woman that made her money in film and then established a nonprofit. I've forgotten the name of the corporation that she established, but the whole purpose of it is to put in touch a mayor who has been through a disaster with a mayor who just went through one. And so she lined up a conference call with me and the mayor of Tupelo, Mississippi. He also had on the line his city attorney, his top staff people. And they lost a lot of people, and they lost more property than we did. And he's also a pilot and a lawyer like I am. And so that's probably why she matched us. I'm not sure. He's also volunteered to come up here to Marshalltown and visit personally with us. He, along with the mayor and city attorney in Cedar Rapids and mayor, city, another attorney up in Parkersburg, and others that I have visited with, have told me there's no way to know what the FEMA criteria are that you have to meet. It changes. It moves. It's an interesting phenomenon to make the application and then hold your breath and wait and see if you're going to qualify or not.
Well, you know, what I really like about what you just said is that people who've been through this are willing to help and step in. Just a little aside, Tupelo, that's Elvis' hometown, Tupelo, Mississippi. But I think the main thing is that these people are willing to consult with you, because when you're new to this whole disaster recovery, these are people who will avoid having you reinvent the wheel. And so they're an excellent resource. And I suppose they had their own direct experiences with FEMA, and that's invaluable experience in guiding you. I'm glad they're willing to, actually, the guy coming up from Tupelo, to actually visit and work with you personally. That's going to be great, because it's the kind of interaction you can't have over the phone.
It is, actually, and then he can see what the damage is and help guide us through. Tupelo actually did kind of a handbook, and so the mayor wrote a piece about what the mayor should expect. The city manager wrote a piece about what he or she should expect. It's about 115 pages, as I remember, and was very helpful to see. And I thought that was really nice for a city to do that. You know, it's tough to go through a disaster, and then when you've recovered, it's commendable that they would spend the time to put together that handbook.
Mayor, we understand that a Rebuild Marshalltown Fund has been set up in your community. What is that, and how is it going to work?
There are actually two rebuild funds. One is for the whole town, including the houses that have been destroyed. And then the other one is for the downtown area. And a third fund that's been set up is to help the people that have been displaced. The third one is through the Mid-Iowa Action. I've forgotten what the acronym MICA stands for completely. But they've been here for decades, and they've been helping people that are underprivileged and now displaced forever, so they'll be good. And so there really are the three funds there. The United Way also has a foundation and is also collecting funds to help displaced people, so there are actually four funds. How the Rebuild Marshalltown Fund works is we have been getting good contributions from some of the local corporations and from around the country, people that have a connection with Marshalltown. Some people who don't have a connection with Marshalltown but think it's awful that we went through such a bad tornado. And so we're collecting the funds and figuring out what the criteria are to disperse them.
Question. I was in Marshalltown just after the tornado, a week or so after, and the neighborhoods looked, some of them looked pretty badly damaged, and they were. What's the status of the rebuilding? With or without those funds, how are those neighborhoods looking today?
Well, we had a bad day yesterday because we had a torrential rainpour.
Oh.
So we have a lot of blue tarps covering a lot of roofs, and they don't always hold. And so I haven't heard the damage report from yesterday. We were lucky the first week after the tornado that it was pretty sunny. We didn't have any rain. It's a mixed answer on that one. Some have been repaired and replaced and look great, and some people are still sleeping in their cars or tents on their property.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, the thing is about a tornado or any incident like that, there's a big surge right after the event, and then you get back into day-to-day life, and everyone starts to go back to work and all this sort of thing. And then some of the fervor and intensity might disappear. So I just hope the community retains its spirit of rising up like a phoenix out of the ashes and continue to work and cooperate. And I really think that it'll look back on this time for most of Marshalltown folks as a time of coming together, of pooling resources. And I'm also moved when I hear that people who have no connection to Marshalltown are helping to fund this. That's marvelous. One thing about the internet and our instant communication and the social network is that people are aware of things so instantly. And it's really important to know that when you have a GoFundMe page or some kind of thing happens, that there's such a response. Another example would be all the money that accumulated in the fund for the Tibbetts reward money.
Yeah.
And that came from all over the country, too. And I'm glad to hear you say that people came from, already contributed from around the world or around the country to help Marshalltown. That's really great.
Yeah, they did. And it was fun to see the commingling of different... let me give you an example of what it was like. Our law office sustained some damage, and we have a lot next to it that had a lot of trees in it. They came down, and so we had a lot of work to be done to cut trees up. On a Saturday after the tornado, my wife said, "Hey, go outside and tell these people we're covered. We have a tree guy coming. We can afford to do our own work here. So go on to the next homeowner that doesn't have the insurance or the tree guy lined up." And there were about 20, 30 people. It was a mix of people who spoke English and didn't. And I think the age started at about age 5 and ended at about age 85.
Oh, boy.
Good. They were together. And all they were doing was going place to place to place that had had damage, and they had chainsaws, and they were just working away to help people out. And so people that had never met each other, and they lived on the same block, now know each other because they're out there trying to remove trees from the streets to make sure we could get through.
Mayor, one last thing. We're short on time. Lenox announced recently that it's going to have about $100 million loss in revenue because of the tornado, but they have pledged to stay in Marshalltown and rebuild. How important is Lenox to your community?
It's absolutely pivotal. And at 8:15 today, I'm meeting the president of JBS. And JBS is the biggest employer in town. Those were the two that gave us the most concern. And it's critical to our economy and the people that live here that those two corporations stay. And God bless them both for saying they're here for the long haul.
Mayor Greer, we want to thank you again for spending some time with us. We will continue to follow this, and we'd love to have you back when you have even better news about your recovery. Marshalltown strong, keep it up, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. We love the media because it keeps the word out.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support community radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.